And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow Him. Let your roots grow down into Him and let your lives be built on Him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness.
Good morning, church. Good morning and welcome to Riverside. So glad that you are here today. It's so good to have everyone home after I know what was a great summer, and I know as school starts back up, it's a chance for us to get back into a normal rhythm or whatever that new rhythm might look like for you. Welcome. Glad that you are here. And if you're new here, let me say again how grateful we are that you chose to be with us today. We really hope that you'll find what so many of us have found, that this place really can be a home for you, that this can really be a faith family for you, and we would love nothing more than for that opportunity to be there for us, to get to know you better and welcome you into what God is doing in this place. Today we are starting a new series. You've heard that already. It is called Build My Life, and here's why we want to spend the next few weeks talking about this. You see, it's my contention that we're all building a life. And you may be doing this on purpose with some intentionality, or you may just be kind of going through the motions and it's happening by default. But we're all building a life on something somehow, some way. Every day we lay another brick. Every day we set another stone. Every day we are building a life. And so the question isn't, is there something that is foundational to your life? The question is, what is it that's foundational to your life? What foundation are you building your life on? Or maybe I could ask it this way. What are you choosing daily to build your life on? What are you choosing daily to build your life on? And you see, I think the answer to that question probably determines the course of your life. How you answer that question probably determines everything about you. When I say the name Billy Graham, probably almost everyone in the room knows who that is. Prolific preacher and speaker. His ministry did so much to bring so many people to Christ. What you may not know is about his wife, Ruth Graham. Ruth Graham passed away in 2007, a little over 10 years ago. But way before she passed away, she had already made a decision about what she wanted on her tombstone, about the inscription she wanted at her grave. As the story goes, one day Ruth Graham was driving down the highway and hit some major construction. So more than likely, she was in DFW somewhere, right? And this went on for miles and miles. She was going through one detour after another detour, construction men everywhere with flags waving traffic this way and that way. There was heavy machinery, you know, in movement on the sides of the road. And this just went on and on for miles, sign after sign, you know, road construction, go this way, detours left and right, until finally she came to the very end of that stretch of highway that was under construction, and she saw a sign with these words, "End of construction, thank you for your patience." And she decided that day that those were the words that she wanted on her tombstone. End of construction, thank you for your patience. You see, I think Ruth Graham knew something that all of us instinctively know, that we are constantly under construction. We know this on one level because we're always building something. Some of you, you're building up your business, or you're building up your career, or you're building a school, or you're building up in the government, or you're building a better life for your kids, you're building your family. All of us are at work building something because this is what we are. We are all builders. We are all building something. But what we sometimes forget is that we ourselves are being built. That we ourselves are being built. And it is the choices that we make daily that determine the kind of people that we become. It's those choices that you make daily that determine the kind of person that you are becoming. And it's the combination of those daily choices that stack up like bricks on a wall that determine the kind of life that you're actually building. So, what are you building your life on? What I want us to do over the next few weeks is go to a letter called Colossians. It's in your New Testament. If you want to open up your Bible or your Bible app, we're going to go to Colossians 2 here in just a moment and start there. My girls were asking me about what I was talking about today. They always want to know what I'm preaching on or what the next series is about. And so I told them, well, we're going to do a series called Build My Life Out of Colossians. It's going to go for 7 weeks. And they were like, well, how long is Colossians? I was like, well, it's only 4 chapters. And they were like, how are you going to preach for 7 weeks out of 4 chapters? I'm like, let me tell you, Colossians is loaded. There is a lot there for you and I to learn from what Paul has written to this ancient church in the ancient city of Colossae. This was written by a man named Paul. We've talked a lot about Paul. If you're around here very much, you hear his name quite often because he wrote such a large part of our scripture. He was writing to this church in southern Asia called Colossae. It's a church he had probably never even been to, and we don't even really know at this point in his life where he is in prison at, but he's in prison writing this letter to this church. I don't know how you're doing at telling people about Jesus and sharing the love of God with others, but Paul was so good at it that it often landed him in jail. The love of Jesus was so disruptive to the cities that he went to that people in power, people with position, wanted to just silence him. And so quite often he would end up in jail wherever he was because he was preaching and teaching and telling people about the wonderful love of God revealed in Jesus. But Paul didn't see this prison cell as an inconvenience. He saw it as a chance to catch up on email. And so what he would do quite often is just take that time to then write to churches he had been to, churches he had planted, churches he had not been to, churches he had heard about. And he wrote this letter to this church in the ancient city of Colossae, this church that was young and growing and in their faith and their belief in Jesus. And while most of your letters, in fact, all of your letters that Paul wrote, he wrote them to specific churches and at a specific time and often with a specific set of problems or issues going on. He never really meant or intended for those letters to be read just by one church. In fact, his intention often was for that letter to be circulated by the churches in that area so people could learn even more about how to follow Jesus and how to build their life on Jesus. And even for us, some 2,000 years later, there is wisdom here, there is teaching here that you and I can learn from because Paul's words, especially when it comes to his overarching mission and message of teaching us how to follow Jesus, it's applicable to every church in every generation. So I want us to start in Colossians chapter 2, and we're going to start with verses 6 and 7, and I'll just tell you, these are the words that we've built this series on. These are the words that we'll probably come back to maybe every week as we continue to build these series and build these messages because these words are so foundational to this idea. Paul said this, "And now, just as you have accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness." So Paul begins this idea really with two different metaphors, and you catch those pretty quickly. The first is simply this, let your roots grow down into him. Into who? Into Jesus. And we've talked about this idea before of roots. Some of you were around a while back when we did this series on roots, and we talked about this powerful idea that before a plant grows up, it grows down. This is how important roots are. A plant can't grow up unless it grows down. Roots are important. Roots are central, and there are no shortcuts in life or in spirituality. And this happens. This is the problem, really, for so many people, because so many people, they want to grow up before they grow down. They look around at the people around them, and they see all that they've acquired and all they've done and their accomplishments, and they look at that and they think, how did they become an overnight success? And you know, like I know, that there is rarely, if ever, such a thing as an overnight success. What we sometimes don't see are the years it took for someone to build what they have built, for the long hours, for the early mornings, for the late nights, for the sacrifices they made to get to where they are. We look and we see them and all they have and all they've been able to do and achieve, and we're filled with jealousy, and we wish we had what they had, and we're frustrated that we don't. But the truth is, there are no shortcuts in life or in spirituality. And so the same is true for us on a spiritual level, too. Sometimes you look around, you see men and women of faith, and you wish man, I just wish I had that kind of faith. They have such words of wisdom. When they pray, it's just like they're having a conversation with God, and he's in the room, and they're always so calm. I've never seen them anxious. They have this peace about them. I wish I had the faith they had. Why can't I have that kind of faith? Why am I always so stressed out and worn out and taxed out? Why can't I have the kind of faith that he has or that she has, but what you don't see are all the years of them waking up early to spend time with Jesus. What you can't see, because you're just not there, is all the days they just take a walk, and they're literally walking with Jesus. What you can't see because you're not there are the hours they've spent poring over the red letters, the words of Jesus, and letting those words take root in their hearts. What you can't see because you're not there is all the time they've devoted to be in relationship with this man that we call Lord and Savior. What you don't see, because you can't see, is all they've given away, because they do believe that God is faithful and that he will provide, and they just want to use and be a good steward of what they've been given to participate in making things on earth as they are in heaven. What you don't see, because you can't see. You wish you could have that kind of faith, but you see that happens over time. That's built. And there are no shortcuts in life or in spirituality. And so Paul says, if you want your faith to be strong in Jesus, you've got to let your roots grow down deep into the rich soil that is Jesus. But then he says, not just that, he says this. He says, let your lives be built on him. Which essentially is another way to say the same thing, because before you build up, you have to what? You have to build down. This summer, our family, some of you know this, we got to travel to New York City and do a little vacation time there. And so we took the kids to see some different things, all the sites and different things around the city. One of those things was, of course, the Empire State Building, which is incredible. Some of you have been there, you've seen it, or you've seen pictures of it. You can see the picture of it here. It's really a sight to behold. What's amazing is that it was built like in 1930 and 31. So the fact that this structure, 103-story building, was built at that time is just incredible. And the speed in which they built this building is also something that is still being written about in the history books. If you go up to the 86th floor to that observation deck, there's two, one on the 102nd floor and one on the 86th floor. But on a clear day, looking out the view from the Empire State Building, you can see 80 miles in any direction. Into, of course, New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Connecticut, Massachusetts, any way you turn, you will be able to see 80 miles on a clear day. It's unbelievable what you can see from that height above the city. As you walk into the observation area, before you get out to the deck, they put up a really cool display. Most people blow right by it because they want to go outside and see the sights. But I did slow down long enough to take a picture of this display called The Builders. I thought this was fascinating, this picture of men who had gathered to be responsible for the building of the Empire State Building in 1930 and 31. But you know what they did before they ever built the first floor? Before they ever built the first story of that 103-story building? Before they ever laid the first brick or erected the first wall? They dug down, they excavated 55 feet into the earth to secure a foundation that would hold the weight of that building. Because they know, like some of you are builders in the room, you know how this works even better than I do. Before you build up, you have to build down. You have to secure a foundation. And so Paul says, let your roots grow down deep into Jesus. You've got to build your life on the firm foundation that is Jesus. And then he spends the rest of the letter talking about the way we build our lives on Christ. And over the next few weeks, I want us to talk about those and think deeply about some of those ways. But today what I want to do is I want to skip to the end as we begin. And so if you want to turn the page to Colossians 4, I just want to share verse 2 with you. And I want you to hear what Paul says here. One of the ways we build our lives on Jesus. He says this to this church: devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. Now, Paul has a lot to say about how we build our lives on Jesus, but as we begin today, I don't want you to miss this. If you want to build your life on Jesus, if we want to, as a church, to build our lives on Jesus, it begins with a life that is devoted to prayer. So maybe a foundational question for you, and even for us today, but for you today, is this. Are you devoted to prayer? Are you devoted to prayer? Do you pray? What do you pray for when you pray? Do you pray for yourself? Do you pray for others? Do you pray for your neighbors? Do you pray for your community? Do you pray for this church? Are you praying that God would do infinitely more in this church than we could ask or imagine for the benefit of Riverside, for the spread of His gospel, for the glory of His great name? Are you devoted to prayer, and are you praying? What are you praying for? I love the way the Revised Standard Version, an older translation, reads in this verse, Paul's words. It says this in verses 2 and 3. It says, "Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. And pray for us also that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison." You see right here exactly what it is that Paul wants them and wants us, I believe, to be devoted in prayer for. That God would open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ. Paul wanted as many people as possible to hear the good news, the message of the love of God revealed in Jesus. Pray for us that God would open a door that we may speak a word about the mystery of Christ, which is the love of God revealed in Jesus and is coming from heaven to earth, His death, burial, and resurrection, to not just save one nation, but to save every nation. This was Paul's desire. If you're going to pray, church, pray for this, that more people would hear about the good news of God's great love revealed to us in this world through Jesus Christ. There's a man by the name of R.C. Lucas who is a New Testament scholar, and when he was reflecting on this passage, he wrote these words. He says, "It is in a prayerless church that the enemy can best do his work of disruption." Think about that. It is in a prayerless church that the enemy can best do his work of disruption. You see, at the foundation of your life, at the foundation of our life as a church, has to be a devotion to prayer. So back when this year started in January, if you can remember that far back, it was a really incredible experience for me personally. The leaders of this church, our elders and our ministers, all went away on a two-day retreat up to McKinney. We had this small little house there on the square, and we gathered in this living room to talk about the future of the church here at Riverside, and dream about what's next and what God is doing in us and through us, what God could do in us and through us. But you know what I'll never forget about that weekend in McKinney with your elders and your ministers? What I will never, ever forget was the time we spent on that living room floor on our knees in prayer for this church, for our city, and for more and more people to come to know about the love of God revealed in Jesus. And I think you can ask anyone who was there that day, and we all walked out of that room with that same conviction that this year for Riverside, one of the things that we want to be true for us is that we would be a praying church. That's why just a few months ago, you'll remember this, before summer break, we did what we called prayer partners, and we asked you to find somebody and partner up with someone that you could be praying with and praying for. And so many of you did that and told us what a blessing that was, that experience was. Some of you are probably still doing that with each other and for each other, and that's huge, because we want to be a church devoted to prayer. When you came into church this morning, if you at any point walked through the foyer, you probably saw this banner. And at the top of it was this logo. This banner is huge, by the way. It's enormous. You couldn't have missed it. If you missed it, you need to get your eyes checked. We'll refer you to a doctor after church. It's enormous. You couldn't miss it. At the top of the banner is this logo and these words. It says, 21 days of prayer. But really, to tell you that story, I need to invite a friend to the stage. So if I could, Riley, here you are. Riley, come on up. You guys help me welcome Riley. So Riley, before we talk about 21 Days of Prayer, I thought it might be good just to kind of tell people maybe how we met, and then let you tell everybody kind of about your story, your family, and kind of get to know you. I know some people know you, but not everybody knows you, so give them that chance. We first met Riley and his family because when we moved to Atlanta almost 4 years, or moved from Atlanta almost 4 years ago here to Coppell, you have to do all the things you do when you move. You got to set up, you know, everything for the first time: cable, internet, phones, doctors is one of those things. And so we had to take our girls to go see the doctor for the first time. Somebody had told us to go to the spot. They didn't tap. They're nervous. We're nervous. We don't know anybody. We don't know what's going on. We walk into the room, and then here comes our doctor, Dr. Shoemate, not Riley. Somebody else that he's related to, your wife. Lisa is in the room, and we start talking, and we tell her, yeah, we moved here from Atlanta. She's like, well, I moved here from Atlanta. And so she asked, where did you go to school? And we're like, well, our kids went to GAC, Greater Atlanta Christian School, there in Atlanta. And she's like, no way, I went to school there. And for us, it was this Holy Spirit moment where God had kind of intersected our lives and our paths. And it was really cool because their anxiety went down, their nerves went down. And of course, Lisa's awesome anyway, just loving our kids. But it was just so cool to have that experience. And it was such a blessing to our family. And I feel like it's one of those God, you know, navigated things for us to even meet each other. But you tell it from your perspective about you and your family.
Yeah, and so for me and my wife, Lisa, that was a time when we were looking for a new church. We had been exploring. We had moved to Texas recently and hadn't landed on a home church yet. So that was just a little over 2 years ago, I think. And we had been visiting a few churches. We had looked at a lot of church websites. We had done all the stuff you're supposed to do. And there was this Atlanta connection and kind of a family connection with them. So we came down here. And the first day I think we came, I didn't ask permission to tell this story, but it's my prerogative. I'm up on stage. I can do what I want. We went to lunch with Frank and Nancy Stepp. And I've told this story before, but we went to lunch with them, and it was, you know, a good experience. Yeah. They asked us if we had any questions, and I had a lot of questions. They answered the questions really well, and it helped me to understand what the church was all about. And specifically, they spoke to a very engaged and clear mission, and that's one of my favorite things about Riverside. There is an intention and an awareness of the social and cultural issues, and that's what I think Riverside as a whole does a really good job of addressing, just like the early church did.
So this isn't the point today, but I want to make sure, church, you heard this, that on their very first visit, someone from this church took them to lunch. So don't ever underestimate the power of that invitation. And if you're here today for the first time, if you're new here, if someone invites you to lunch, it's not weird. They just want to get to know you. And if you want to make it great, just ask them to pay, and they will. Thank you, Riley, for sharing that. That's awesome. So Jason and I, when we started thinking about this 21 Days of Prayer, we called you. You were the first person we called to maybe help with this. But there's kind of a story behind that as well, another one of these God, Holy Spirit kind of stories. Can you sort of tell that story, share that story?
Yeah, I have to, just like when I told you, I have to have a little bit of a caveat, because I really needed this last sermon series, the Holy Spirit series. It's hard for me to kind of give up that control of life sometimes and say, well, you know, that was God. I want to thank a lot of the things that are good in my life that I did. And so I struggle with that and the Holy Spirit's presence in our lives. But I was leaving a prayer group in the morning one week, and I was driving home, and I just had this thought. It just popped in my head. It was not like a dream or a hope. It was like knowledge that the church was going to ask me to do a prayer challenge. Super random. I wasn't really involved in many other ways. I mean, I was kind of plugged in with some people, but I was not plugged into any kind of work. And I just knew that they were going to ask me to do a prayer challenge. And I knew it was going to be kind of like a days in a row kind of thing, a prayer vigil type. And so I had been thinking about what I was going to do. And 2 days later, Jason sent me an email asking me to do a 21-day prayer challenge. And we met up. And so I kind of had this, there was a little bit of a gravity to the project for me from the start, because I felt like It was an interesting moment, an inspired moment, and so it's been kind of a really good journey from there.
Awesome. So we're going to talk more about 21 Days of Prayer and what that is and what that means for us as a church, but you've been working behind the scenes for weeks now, months now, on this idea, and one of the things that I'd like to begin with is just, you know, what do you hope would be true for us as a church as we enter into 21 Days of Prayer?
You know, sometimes when you pray, if you pray for a specific idea and then something happens in your life, you really feel like you have to live into that prayer if it's related. So I was praying, going through this, and I kind of tested out, you know, how does it feel to pray this one day and something else the next? And so I was kind of going through some of those things, and I prayed one day for service and to have the willingness to serve and a desire to be involved in ways that were uncomfortable. And after that day, the very next day, Zach asked me to start singing on the praise team, which was not something I was comfortable with at the time. And I think if you remember, I gave a bunch of kind of like yes, no answers. We went back and forth, but eventually I kind of just had to say yes. And that's kind of what I am hoping, is that we have this opportunity to expand our perceptions through prayer, a systematic expansion of the things that we pray about. I tend to pray about the same things all the time, and they're important things, but it's difficult, I think, to get outside of your typical prayer routine. And I think if we can get outside of that and pray for some bigger things, then we will also feel called to live into those things when they happen.
Awesome. Man, thanks, Riley. So before I let you go, a couple things. First, let's talk everybody through some logistics. This is going to start in 2 weeks, so September 8th is when we'll begin, but we've got the banner out today. So kind of describe what we're asking people to do.
Yeah, so we want you to sign up. It's September 8th through 28th, 30-minute prayer increments. So there's a little over 1,000 slots out there. So those are filling up fast, though, so you better get out there quick. just kidding, don't leave yet. We want you to sign up. There will be different topics, so we'll help you kind of think about what to pray, and there will be some freedom with that as well. There will also be an opportunity for feedback. So we want to know when you pray, what came to your mind, what did you think of, is there something that's important to you that we're missing, or something like that. And then also there will be a prayer room. We're going to have a prayer room set aside on Sundays. That can be a place where you go to pray, or it can be a place where even if you're not signed up for that time on Sunday, if you just feel called to pray, you can go up there. We're going to try to create some cool stuff in that room as well.
Awesome. And then last thing, people maybe want to know, what do we pray for? And you've worked on that question as well.
Yeah. Each week has its own framework. So it's 21 days, it's 3 weeks. The first week will be our relationship with God. And of course, there's 7 days, so it'll be seven major topics within that. The next week will be our relationship with each other within the church specifically. And then the third week will be relationship with our community, and then outward from there, of course, globally.
Awesome. Church, would you help me say thank you to Riley for all of his work on this? Thanks, brother. Awesome job. Appreciate it. I don't mind telling you, when we met with our shepherds and told them, you know, we're going to put this 21 days of prayer idea into action, and we're going to pray around the clock for 21 days, that means that there's going to be over 1,000 prayer slots, over 1,000 people praying, over 500 hours of prayer, over 30,000 minutes of prayer over the course of 21 days. They looked at us and thought we were crazy, and you probably are thinking the same thing right now. That's bold. That's audacious. That's huge. But what if? What if we were this devoted to prayer as a church? What if we were this devoted to praying individually and collectively for Riverside, for each other, for the world? R.C. Lucas said, "It is in a prayerless church that the enemy can best do his work of disruption." It's probably true. But here's what I believe is also true, that it is in a praying church that God can do his best work of building up the church. And I'll tell you, I can't even begin to imagine what God could do in us and through us if we were this devoted to prayer over the course of 21 days. And personally, as your preacher or whatever you want to call me, I get called a lot of names, most of them good, but I can't tell you how excited I am to see what God is going to do in us and through us as we do this together. It's going to be unbelievable. I can't even begin to imagine what's going to happen in us and through us as we pray for each other, as we pray for this church, and as we pray for our reach in this community and around the world. So here's what I need you to do today. In just a few minutes, we're going to wrap it up, and we'll dismiss from this place. And I want to invite you to go out into the foyer and sign up, not just for one slot, because we don't have 1,000 people in this church, so I need you to sign up for 3 or 4. It may be that you wake up at 5 a.m. every morning and you say, I can do that. I can pray for 30 minutes at 5 a.m. for this church. Or I can pray, you know, twice a week or once a week at this time for this church. Or maybe you want to take, you know, your lunch break and spend 30 minutes and go drive your car to a park and sit by a tree. And I don't know what you want to do, but kind of get quiet, get alone, get silent, and pray for 30 minutes during that time. Or maybe you want to do it with your family. And maybe what you want to do is say, hey, you know what, for the next 3 weeks, you know, every Tuesday night after dinner, before dinner, before bed, we're going to gather together for 30 minutes with our kids and we're going to pray for Riverside. Or maybe you want to do this with your spouse, or maybe you're like our youth minister, Grayson Tucker, and you've got babies at home and you already know you're going to be up at 3 a.m. because those babies got to eat. And you can pray while you're giving them a bottle. You'll see it. He signed up for those spots. I don't know. Here's what I do know. Together we can commit to this and God will do unbelievable things in us and through us as we step in to this life of being devoted to prayer together. If you want to know how to build your life, I really do think it begins with a devotion to prayer. If you want to build your life on Jesus, it begins with a devotion to prayer. Church, if you would, let's stand together. So what's going to be written across our tombstones one day? What would the inscription at our grave say? If all it said was end of construction, thank you for your patience, I don't know about you, that would be enough for me. Because we're all being built. But here's the thing, we get to decide what the next phase of construction looks like. We get to decide if it's time to remodel. We get to decide if it's time to relook at the foundation. We get to decide if we want a new foundation. And some of you, maybe for whatever reason, you're here today and you don't have this foundation that we're talking about in Jesus Christ. And if that's you, I just want you to know that today you could make Jesus your foundation. You could step into the waters of baptism. You could confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior, as the Son of the Most High God. And you can begin to build your life on that foundation that, oh, by the way, will never, ever be shaken. But for the rest of us who maybe have already made that confession and we're trying to build our life in a certain way, maybe it's time to relook. Maybe it's time to look at where the walls are crooked and the ceilings are cracked and we can see, uh-oh, our foundation is out of alignment. And maybe it's time. Maybe it's time to do a new phase of construction and to think about not just how we want to build, but how we want to rebuild our lives on Jesus. I'm going to invite our shepherds and their wives to make their way around the room. We're going to sing one more song. If for any reason you would like them or us to pray over you for anything, if you're ready to build your life on that foundation of Jesus, go talk to one of them or come see me. If you want to just have prayer in general because you realize your life is a little bit off kilter and you need Jesus to reclaim his rightful place as the foundation of your life, allow us to pray for you this morning for that. Because the most important thing about you is the answer to this question. What are you building your life on? And my prayer is that the answer to that question would be Jesus. And that your decision to follow him would determine everything about your life. Let's sing.